Charlie.
No problem. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
The few blocks that make up downtown Patagonia can be a little sleepy, including its only gas station. But it's still a hub in this town of less than 1,000 people, the kind of place where you don't just fill up, but sit around and shoot the breeze. A popular topic? Patagonia's future, especially for its young people. 40-year resident Lee Gordon puts it this way.
If the mines were here, they could work for the mines and stay here, raise their families here. But they're going to go where their jobs are, and I don't blame them.
Large-scale mining operations helped build this town and then died out decades ago. Now a Canadian company called Wildcat Silver is exploring whether to develop an open-pit silver mine 6 miles outside of town. Gordon's all for it, but says some people here don't feel the same. He points to a Subaru leaving the station.
Driving a hippie wagon that's loaded with copper and silver and anything that's mined out of the ground. But that's fine, because that's hers. Nobody else, no.
Station owner Charlie Montoy has a name for some of these newbies. Culture thieves.
They come down here from the city or wherever they come from, and they come down to this little town, and they, you know, they like it the way it is, but after a while what they do is they end up bringing in their big city ideas.
Like, mining is bad for Patagonia.
I remember the first time Gooch took me up here, I was terrified. Now it just makes me giggle.
Wendy Russell is from back east, but her fiancé, Gooch Goodwin, was born and raised in Patagonia. They're driving up nearby Red Mountain, which overlooks the proposed mining site. Russell says they've been fighting this plan for years.
Mining is dirty and thirsty. Period.
That's why Russell and others began the Patagonia Area Resource Alliance. It recently released a study saying the project could consume hundreds of millions of gallons of water annually, much more than the entire town of Patagonia. It also says the site could leak acid and metals, among other concerns. Wildcat disputes this and did not respond for comment.
There it is. Okay.
We stop at a vista point and Goodwin looks at the desert below. He used to live on this mountain as a fire lookout. He remembers at night...
Maybe one ranch would have lights on for part of the night, but it would be entirely black. And to be able to see a major mine site like that, which I've been around lots of big mine sites, and to see something like that over here, I mean, that's criminal.
But legal, according to the U.S. Forest Service. Heidi Schuhl is with the Coronado National Forest, where the possible mine would be located. Her agency's job here is to make sure laws are followed. And then?
Help the project to move forward by following our process. That's what we are mandated to do.
And Schuhl says she works hard to be open about that process. By law, individuals and companies can prospect on public land. It's a right they've had since 1872. So if you live near public land, especially if it's been mined before...
There may be folks in the future, near future or off in the distant future, that may want to develop those mineral resources. That's the reality of what this is. And if they're on National Forest Service lands, again, we have a process that guides us to support those operations.
Schuhl thinks mining may be picking up in southern Arizona. She knows of several proposals in the Coronado National Forest alone. Meanwhile, a final decision on the Wildcat project could be years away. Stina Sieg, KJZZ News.